to drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this, it's just another summer afternoon. It's hot, it's humid, and it's liable to rain. And hopefully it won't storm too badly. I mean, I think today's one of the last few days that we have a chance of some weather that might get severe. Boy, it seems like every afternoon it comes up, something, it blows up. I mean, there is strong winds, whether or not you get rain. That's one of the things that sort of bummed me a couple of days ago is around the house. I look and the trees are starting to bend down. It's turning black. So went and protected everything. Then all it did was blew down limbs and leaves and all kinds of stuff. It didn't rain. But so if it's going to do that, it might as well rain. But hope everybody doing well on this Wednesday as we get things underway with The Drive. And we have the regular crew here on this Wednesday. Bill and Dan's somewhere. He's in the studio. He's in the building. Dan will be in, once he gets everything together, I guess. But Jason Caldwell from the 24/7 Network Auburn Undercover is here in the studio as well. JC, how you doing today?
I'm good. How about you?
Pretty good. It's a day off as far as media coverage for fall football.
Yeah, it's just a different world. It really is. Think about that. That they've been now a weekend and they've had 2 days off. I remember those days.
Three days where
there would be 14 days in a row they'd practice and they finally would have a day off. Well, those days are over with. You're not going to do that anymore.
You're limited to the number of hours you can work, and now you can't have those. Much less 3-a-days. You can't have the 2-a-days with any with any gear.
Correct.
Really.
You can't. Well, yeah, you can't have. Yeah, you basically just have meetings. You can't go back on the field a second time, and you can only have 8 padded practices the entire preseason. Full pads. Can only have 2 scrimmages. Full on scrimmages. You can have some situations.
You can have 11-on-11 at times.
Yeah, but it's a completely different world. So because of that, you have to take advantage of all the things you can do, and I think they've done a good job of that so far. Got a lot of 11-on-11 work in yesterday and did some of those things. So just continuing, right now to move towards what should be a pretty important day on Saturday.
Yeah, and, from all indications, Jason, at least we were talking about this yesterday, it appears that the coaches are pretty happy with the way things are going thus far.
Yeah, I think they've been pleased. I think there's a couple things that you look at with this team right now, and we talk to players, we talk to coaches, we'll talk to more players and coaches over the course of the next week or so. The thing that jumps out to me as much as anything is how different this team looks than it did in the spring.
Yeah,
just with,
amen.
With the new bodies, with the new players on campus, players that are going to make an impact. Normally you don't have that. Normally you don't have a team that's a whole lot different from the spring. You'll have a few true freshmen that might – this is not that team. This is a team that has major impact players on both sides of the ball that were not here in the spring. And so it's not just Peyton Thorne. There's a bunch of them. Jalen McLeod may be getting as much attention as anybody I can remember in a long time in the preseason, the transfer from Appalachian State.
Somebody said, and I don't remember, somebody said he may be the best player on the team right now.
We've had more than one person tell us that they think he may be the best player on the team.
And to that, and I'm not – I will be thrilled if that turns out to be the case. Like, I'm not doubting that. I am sort of puzzled about, if a guy can come in and make that sort of impact, where was the production at App State? I mean, I think he had three sacks in conference play, playing in every game.
Had a couple against Texas A&M,
two against A&M, but I think that still means, like, he had 6 sacks on the season last year. Mm-hmm. 2 against A&M. That means 4 the rest of the year, playing all season at App State in a conference that throws the ball a lot. So there would be, and guys make breakthroughs.
Maybe he's just better. The better competition he goes against.
A&M's offense wasn't a juggernaut last year.
No, but their guys are more talented than most of the other players.
But it's funny. Sometimes it's about drive. Sometimes it's about the same thing happens in baseball, because there are guys that make it in Major League Baseball and become all stars. That I watched in college, and I went, that guy. Now, there's been a few of those. I mean, David Eckstein was a good college player, but he wasn't a guy that I thought was going to become a guy in Major League Baseball.
No, first of all, you thought he was probably too little.
Correct. And all of a sudden, you look up and go, that guy's an all-star type player.
Well, that brings me to my next question about McLeod, which is the size a concern for a guy who's going to impact an SEC defense? I mean, he's roughly the same size as Zion Puckett, and he's going to be an edge rusher, not a safety.
Yeah, I think it's second, third downs. I don't think he's going to play 75 snaps, but you know what? I think the difference is I don't know if they have anybody on the front seven that's going to play 75 snaps, which is a good thing.
Well, I'll tell you another guy. Now, it's been a generation ago, but I remember Auburn people thinking that Dwight Freeney was not big enough to have any effect against them, and he went on and had a pretty good NFL career at about 245.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's unusual now to see an edge rusher at that size, but not unheard of.
Like no, you can
impact the quarterback. How big did Quentin play at when he was here at Auburn?
Quentin was an inside linebacker at about 210.
D Ford was 2013. D Ford was 235 pounds.
And that was the biggest he
And he got to
255. He came in about 190.
He got to 255 when he got into the NFL, and so it's possible. And here's the thing: if you're playing Arkansas, you're playing Georgia, you're probably not going to have a 50 snap game out of that guy in that game.
Maybe this Ole Miss team with Judkins and Jackson Dart.
Maybe, it also depends on the offensive line too and how they play a little bit. So, but I here's the other thing. It's exactly why I think when you hear Ron Roberts talk and he says this is a linebacker-driven defense,
mm-hmm.
I think that means you're not necessarily going to say, hey, we're just going to line you up and smash an offensive tackle all day either. You may move him around some, and you may get some situations where you become a blitz guy more than an edge rusher.
He answered my inaudible question on the microphone with that linebacker-driven defense comment. That was when I asked him about how the linebackers looked, and he talked about what had been emphasized so far. I thought we got good stuff out of Wesley Steiner yesterday about the linebackers, too, and sort of their responsibilities and what's asked of them.
Yeah, and in the end, it's you always hear it, the quarterbacks of the defense, and I think this is a system that – they want those guys to run and make plays. And, I mean, you got to get guys lined up, but you got to know every little bit of it. And you've heard more of it already in this preseason than I have in a long time. But that's a focus everywhere. Offensive line it's always been there. But, I mean, we're now getting more – I mean, already wide receiver guys that are moving to different spots. Caleb Burton's playing a couple of spots.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you become fast. And for a long time, it became, well, this guy's playing here. Well, then you got to replace him. Well, you can't go tempo if you start replacing guys on offense. You got to have guys that, you know, let's get in this formation and run this. Well, you got to be able to do that without subbing. That was the downfall of the Gus Malzahn offense. To me, it wasn't the change in clock. It was perfect play.
Well, it was when the rules changed that the defense had an opportunity,
when you sub. That's the whole point.
Right.
You've got to
because
adapt
it didn't
to that.
Used to be when Gus first started. They were subbing on the fly,
correct,
sort of like hockey.
And that's the thing. You got to adapt to that. Going that means you got to keep guys on the field.
Right.
And you can still tempo by keeping guys on the field, but once you start subbing, it's over with.
Yeah, you can't have, here's the guy for this play and expect, correct, to be able to do it fast.
You're not going
to
do it.
What a job they've done, though, at Jack, bringing in McAllister and McLeod.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Sings. You know, it was pointed out to me, like, Sings went through spring practice as the number one strong side defensive end on that Liberty defense. Mm-hmm. This is not a guy who, like, playing time was not remotely a concern.
For any of the three.
For Steven, yeah, for the other two as well. You're right. Yeah. I mean, all three of them left situations where they were guaranteed or seemingly in line for quite a bit of playing time.
Either starter or playing a lot.
Playing a lot, yeah, yes. Leaned on by the defense. So and Auburn, you know, we'll see where the three of them fit in. I feel like Sings is a little bit forgotten because we've seen McAllister this offseason. And McLeod is...
He's kind of a hybrid of those two guys. I see Elijah McAllister as that long body guy that's going to kind of stand up and do some of those things. Sings is a physical power guy, and then McLeod's just a burst. I think you got some different looks there. Brenton Williams, the true freshman from Opelika, is a big body guy that's there too. And so,
you think he may end up growing into a strong side end?
He may. I don't know that he doesn't have the frame that Keldrick has.
Right.
He's not small.
No.
but he could end up growing.
I wonder if he might end up moving inside.
You could, but you look at the guys they brought in. Wilkie Dinaud is now kind of
he's a 300 pounder now.
True defensive end.
Yeah.
And then Darren Reed
is 290. Right? Wilkie Dinaud's going to be enormous.
Darren Reed's 295. I mean, they brought in guys that are bigger and physical and are kind of fitting in what they want them to do.
Before we get to Yellowhammer, it's the first time since this thing really got started that we've gotten to talk to Jason. You've had a couple of practices that you've gotten to watch with the rest of the media. You've talked to everyone. I would think along the lines of McLeod, you know, sort of the players that have a lot of positive buzz through the first couple of days. Bill and I were talking about, I think there are two receivers at least that would be on the short list of guys that have gained a lot of buzz, a holdover and
a new guy
and a new transfer.
Yep.
I mean, there are others too. I'm not trying to feed
Shane,
you answers.
Yeah,
here,
Shane Hooks, Jay Fair. That's the two.
I was going to go Burton. Actually,
yeah,
I feel like there's been a ton of Burton.
Burton's been there too, but I think Shane Hooks the last couple of days, and Jay Fair's a guy that it feels like has probably improved his stock as much as anybody on this team since the spring.
Yeah, we didn't hear as much about him in the spring. As a matter of fact, we heard a little more about Amari Kelly.
Yeah.
In the spring. But, but every day it's been Jay Fair.
He's really impressed. He's done a good job. Jay Fair, and all of a sudden you look and you go, Jay Fair, Javarius Johnson as the slot guy, Caleb Burton able to play the slot. I think you're going to see him move back outside.
I think so too.
But you look at Burton, Hooks has been a guy that's made plays. Jay or Shorter, we haven't seen as much yet. But then I've heard a little bit of Nick Mardner too. I mean, this is a group, and Camden Brown's getting healthier, getting back out there and looking like his old self. I think the wide receiver group and the offensive line group have probably changed as much for the good as any on this team since the end of last December.
Well, an edge, maybe. Well, although Auburn lost a lot of really talented guys at edge, you're right.
Yeah, like
the improvement wasn't as urgent.
Since the end of the year, yes, because there was none.
That's true.
You had zero. I mean, it's gone from nothing to, hey, okay, you got some guys there that can make plays.
Yeah, but it feels like, there are positions on this team, I think, remarkable considering the turnover, but also last year was there was turbulence throughout last year.
Correct.
As well. But, I mean, there are positions on this team where if you were to contrast what Auburn currently has versus what they had five practices in last season, there you would think they might have made steps in the right direction.
Yeah, correct.
Let alone, you know,
the
turnover and all the end of the year as well.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, sponsor of hour number one. And let's get to the phone. And Yellowhammer is up first. Hey, Yellowhammer.
What's up, Hammer?
Hey, afternoon. Well, you were just recently talking about our defense and how there might be a little bit of moving around. And it made me think of the 85 Bears, who had wonderful personnel, of course. But they did a lot of that kind of thing. They'd show you one defense, and at the snap of the ball, they'd be something else. And I like that kind of are we this or are we that kind of defense. And I just wondered, you know, what's this defense like in that regard?
Yeah, I think it's got some possibilities. Because the thing is that Auburn has been for a long time traditionally a 4-3 defense. It's hard to do those things in that style. You see the 3-4, you start to see more movement. The 3-4 is where you can walk up and play five-man front. You can move guys around. You can zone blitz. It's a lot easier usually in a 3-4 scheme. That's kind of what Auburn did, you know, with Coach Dye for a long time when you had Andre Bruce outside and Brian Smith and Craig Ogletree, and you had those guys, and then you had your two troop middle linebackers inside, and you're able to give some different looks, do some things. Obviously, different type of game being played now, but I think there's some versatility in Ron Roberts' defense, yes. And how much of that depends on how much you can get from those three or four guys up front.
It's going to be interesting because we've heard, you know, Phillip Montgomery talk about playing fast and players talking about playing fast offensively. Ron Roberts' defenses have been, they've been most of the time defenses that will attack and create turnovers. Sometimes if you have an offense that likes to go fast, you don't do as much of that defensively. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they play against each other because both these guys, you know, have had opportunities to look at the other side of the ball, not
correct,
just running the offense or the defense.
Correct. And, yeah, you're right. I do think that in this day and age, sometimes you would, I would tend to be a little bit more aggressive because it's so hard now to get off the field because offenses are so good. I got to create turnovers, negative plays. And so they've done a pretty good job of that in his history of going out, especially producing turnovers. To me, that's how you make an impact on defense now. It's just, it's so hard to go, yeah, we're going to go out and hold people to 14 points a game.
Yeah, no, you do that and you'll lead the nation in
scoring
defense.
Absolutely. It's just hard to do that nowadays. And so you've got to go out and create negative plays. And I think that's something that, that they'll try to do more of this season.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. We need to get to our first break. Again, you can give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline, or you can also text us.
That's right. You can text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe, or go to the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. Podcast of The Drive presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Come on in and join us. We'll be right back here on the Wind.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell with us for hour number one. And let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I got a question for Jason. And Jason, if you've already answered this question, I apologize. But what do you think the linebacker rotation is going to look like? If you already answered, I'm sorry.
I have not answered. And honestly, I have no idea. It's really wide open because there's more possibilities there than there have been. I would still lean towards Austin Keys being a guy that I think is going to be a starter.
Would Eugene Asante qualify as one of these
his
guys?
His name,
yes.
There's a name that we hadn't heard much about of until this fall.
Yep. Been watching him and heard during the summer, like, this guy's got some suddenness to him. And, you know, we didn't get to see him at all last year. And so I think Cam Riley's obviously there. Wesley Steiner's a guy that's involved there.
Steiner's banged up, right?
He's a little banged up. Robert Woodyard has continued to come on, and so
Larry Nixon.
And you got Larry Nixon. So I mean, you've got some guys with experience, talent, got some size. I think it's an interesting group. And the one thing I do think we're going to see more of, and I mentioned it earlier, I think we're going to see actual more rotation than we've seen in quite a while, which is huge, especially. When you're playing tempo, you're going to need those guys to be fresh. But after what we saw last year, we saw a team that faded in the fourth quarter almost every game. I think they look and going, look, you got to play more bodies. You got to play more guys, especially on defense. I would say that Austin Keys, my second one, I'd still lean towards Cam Riley maybe a little bit. But I think there's three or four guys they feel pretty good about right
Austin
now.
Keys, by the way, one of the players that we will get to talk to on Friday. It was announced earlier today.
And when people get a chance to hear from him, he's going to blow you away. Yep. He's awesome.
Dylan Wade, Justin Rogers, Austin Keys, Jalen Simpson, and Camden Brown, the listed receivers for Friday's opportunity.
That's interesting, Dan, because Dan and I were talking a little earlier, and I haven't heard much about Camden this fall. I mean, I've seen him out there, but I guess he's still
getting back a little bit. Had it like a kind of an ankle thing that bothered him throughout the spring and into the summer. I think he's kind of getting back a little bit, but
because of their size, would you say Camden and Nick Mardner might be competing for a similar spot?
Jair's not that much. Yeah,
I think
than Camden.
There's some bigger guys, and so they've got big guys. That's why I think it's going to be important for guys to be able to play multiple spots because I don't think they're going to pigeonhole.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time figuring who's where depth chart wise.
I just don't even think you can even do it yet because it's just so wide open. It's just kind of like the thing where people say, well, Robbie Ashford got the snaps, number one quarterback. Well, okay, yeah, they're repping every day and they're moving
guys.
That
was this half hour.
Correct. And so we talk to people like, they're moving one, twos, and threes, and they're all taking snaps with one, twos, and threes at different times during the day.
Appreciate the phone call, Terry.
Well, Terry, are you done?
No, I just wanted to ask Jason one last thing. How many linebackers does Ron Roberts want to play? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. I mean, he says he'd like to play. What was the number in the spring? He talked about how many guys he'd like to get to.
Five
on
or
defense.
Six. Yeah, didn't he say five or six yesterday?
Five or six. He said that back in the spring, too.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think you start talking about
you
that.
You got five or six
I think
right
you
now.
You got five or six guys. You know, if you can find somebody that becomes the bell cow guy, then they might get more of the reps. But I think we're going to see some rotation there. And it's not something that we've seen a bunch of. I mean, last year Owen Popo probably played. I can go back and look, but I'm guessing it was 70% of the snaps.
And some of the times he could barely walk.
And Colby Wooden and Derek Hall, those three guys stayed on the field a bunch. And hey, they're your best players. But there's also something to be said for making those guys, you know, take a rest so they're fresh in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And I think back to guys like I mean, and they were good players, really good players, but. You know, the Pig Golfs of the world and all these guys that played a big role on a defensive line so that starters, they would come back in and you know, Tracy Rockers and you know, Nate Hills and Benji Rowland, all those guys were still wide open, ready to go in the fourth quarter. You got to rotate, and I think we're going to see more of that.
Defensive, I appreciate the phone call, Terry. Defensive line depth was not where it needed to be last year. There were times, I think it was the Arkansas game, Auburn played three defensive linemen. The whole game,
yeah, correct.
Four defensive linemen. It's like that's. I mean, that's
you just
not going to work.
Do it.
Not going to work against a team like that, or really any team on the schedule that you know that's prioritizing football. We talked about this recently, Jason. I like your thoughts. Earlier in the summer, it was into I think even at media days, Hugh Freeze gave a timeline about the quarterback battle. That timeline would seem to indicate that. They'll cut to two before the second scrimmage.
Well, what he had said initially, it would be after Saturday.
See, I thought it was 5 to 10. Did he just
he
say
said
five?
10.
At first?
He okay. said he yeah. said 10 was the first thing he
yeah,
said.
Yeah, here's
10
here's,
days would be Saturday.
Yeah, here's what I think. I think it's probably more of a 3-man battle than they expected even this far into camp. And I think it's because it's a good thing. I don't think it's because. Two guys haven't performed well. I think it's because all three guys have done pretty good job. We talked to some folks and said, look, and we've heard them talk about holding a gun or throwing the football. We've heard them talk about the things that Peyton Thorne has done since he's arrived. We talked to folks and said, look, Robbie Ashford had the best practice he's probably ever had. All of these guys have improved. I spoke to Luke Deal for my Real Deal episode today, and he's like, it's so much better. Like, those guys are so much better than they were even, you know, coming out of the spring that I think the competition is a push. So I think it's created a little bit of them going, okay, we got a little bit more, even more competition than they maybe expected. So I still think they're going to knock it down to two, but I think Saturday becomes a massive day for those guys. I would think especially for Robbie Ashford and Holden Garner. It's hard for me to believe that Peyton Thorne is not going to be involved in those two spots.
Right.
It feels like this thing gets knocked down. It's going to be one of those other two guys.
And I think for much of the offseason, people assumed that Holden would finish third.
Yeah.
And he's made a case for himself that maybe he's not going
correct.
To finish
and,
third.
Correct. And I don't think it's because Robbie Ashford hasn't done anything. I think it's because they're like, okay, Holden has come on. And they didn't get – you know, they got to see a lot of him in the spring. But I think it's because there's been some strides taken. And so now you go, okay, let's see what everybody can do. And that was kind of the plan anyway.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn Hotline here on The Drive.
At The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
I had a question for y'all on the silly kite.
Uh-huh.
Talking about pass rush, he played 3 years at Maryland. Did he have a injury that hindered him halfway through his second year and then his third year? Because in his first 9 games, he had 7 sacks. Then he had 8 sacks in his first 11 games. Then he had 1 in his last 16.
Yeah, I don't know. He started some games last year. I think he had 7 starts last year. But he, you know, he was a junior college guy coming in. And so he, I don't know if there was anything. Here's the thing. Could have been slowed, absolutely. Could have impacted him. He may have. And so it may have not have been enough to keep him out of a game, but it might have been enough to impact his play. I just don't know for sure.
Yeah, well, somebody who has 7 sacks in 9 games, I mean, if he's healthy, he ought to be able to help.
He played in all 12 games last season, so if it was an injury or something, I mean, it didn't hinder him enough to keep him out of the games. It would have just slowed him down. I didn't watch a ton of Maryland football last year. I know he had in multiple tackles for a loss last year. I don't know if he registered a sack, but he was certainly part of their rotation at Maryland.
He's a guy they feel like is going to help he's probably more of a defensive end type guy, but I think he could be a third down defensive tackle too, where you go kind of the, you know, used to be called that rabbits package. He's a guy that's still big enough to withstand against the run if somebody tried to run it, but could get upfield some. So that's the thing they do have, is that they've got some guys that have the ability to move around and give them some different things. So you could go big and have Jason Jones, Justin Rogers both on the field at the same time, and Marcus Harris at defensive end, and then, you know, Elijah McAllister as a standard defensive end. I mean, you could go really big like that, or you could go, you know, have, you know, Messiah Nasili Kite as a nose guard type guy, Marcus Harris, Keldrick Falk, and have more speed guys on the field at the same time.
Now, I will say this, Brett. I am told that he played more defensive tackle his last 2 years at Maryland and played end more that first year, which would explain some of the sack numbers, at least, if he was playing more inside later in his career. That would maybe explain some of that.
Right. Hey, last thing, Jason, is Jeremiah Wright, is he like 100%, or is anything hindering him? Or
yeah, he looks to be good. He, you know, they kind of held him out a little bit during the spring, and he wore the yellow jersey, but I think it was fine. He's been good all summer, and then we've seen him out there. He was actually, you know, rotating in with the one group when we saw him yesterday at left guard. So I think there's a battle going on with him and Tate Johnson. I think that Jaden Muskrat, Muskie as they call him, the transfer from Tulsa.
And Stutzy.
And Stutz. Those four guys, Tate Johnson, I mean, you got there's some competition going on with those guard spots. I don't think there's so much at center and the tackles right now, but there's some serious competition going on with those guard spots.
I think they've
spots.
Got a 1 and a 2 they really like at center. Right now, yeah, they brought in a veteran,
correct,
veteran transfer center,
and then Connor Liu as the true freshman there behind him, and then the tackles we saw yesterday. Dylan Wade's going to be at left tackle. I think Gunnar Britton is pretty solidly penciled in at the right side. But we saw, you know, Dylan Senda getting some tackle reps along with Muskie as well yesterday. Two guys that had weren't here in the spring.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, Brett, if you see a lot of all four of the guard candidates in the first 3 or 4 games, especially the first 3. I think Auburn could take time to evaluate all 4 of those guys in game action, and then decide who gives them the best shot when they go. A&M's game 4. When they go to College Station,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
game 4.
Well, they better be ready when they go to Cal.
That's true. No, you're right. I mean, I think they'll have most of the evaluation done before they play Cal. But I think there could still, you know, there could maybe be uncertainty at one or two of those guard spots, as you know, because they like, you know, more than 2 of the candidates.
Yeah, I'm just a big Jeremiah Wright fan. Seemed like when they put him in the lineup more the last 4 games, we started running the ball a lot better, and he definitely gets after it. But y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Brett. 334-321-1390. And Spectre is next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Listen, Jason.
Yes.
I know it's kind of premature for the especially guys coming in from the transfer portal on the offensive line, but how do they determine 1s and 2s this early in the game when they hadn't had it been in the field yet?
They don't, other than you have a first group. Now, you got some guys that left over from the spring, so you know that based on what you did in the spring, where guys kind of start. You have to start somewhere. And so you'll see those guys getting reps because they're a first group, and there's pretty good separation because you had to go out and start over, basically. So when you're bringing those kind of guys in with that experience, they're kind of going to get the first reps, but there's still competition everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I think it's pretty solidly left tackle, right tackle, and center, in my opinion. I don't know that there's a whole lot of guys that are going to challenge
beat those
guys
out.
Well, if you're talking about guys that weren't on the team in spring practice, it's a little bit different, right? I mean, these are two tackles who were out there
spring. Yeah, he was mentioning, you know, Dylan Sunda, and when you're talking about Jaden Muskrat, Muskie, those guys.
Yeah, but I think you've got some guys that I would say right now there's probably those three guys and then the two extra guards. I think there's seven players that they feel like, okay, we can rotate these guys in and out. Maybe Muskrat, maybe eight.
Connor Lou, I think.
And Connor Lou is so they're trying to find 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's three that I would feel like are pretty solidly, in at least in pencil, that I would believe would be starters if they stay healthy going into the first game. But if they go out and they don't play very well, then that could change. But, yeah, I mean, you have to – sooner or later somebody has to get the first snaps, and normally you try to build that from an offensive line perspective around the guys that you feel most secure about first.
Okay, as of today, give me the ones.
I would
on the offensive line?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say Dylan Wade at left tackle, Gunnar Britton at right tackle, Avery Jones at center, Cam Stutz right guard, I believe would be one right now. Left guard, it's Tate Johnson and or Jeremiah Wright.
Right.
That's where I would lean towards my starting offensive line as of today.
And Muskie could push Cam Stutz on that right side at guard too.
What about the tight end?
Everybody.
Doesn't really matter, I don't think.
They're going to play all of them.
Yep.
I think you'll see a lot of Rivaldo and Deal.
Rivaldo Fairweather's going to be the receiving guy that's going to play a bunch. They'll move him around. They'll split him out some at wide receiver, all those things. Luke Deal is going to play a ton. I think Tyler Fromm's going to have a mix in here as well. So I would say those three guys probably be the guys that would be the most used out of that.
I feel like I've noticed Micah Riley at times these last couple of days.
He's come
as well.
On. You still got – I mean, yeah, I think they're going to rotate. I do. I think they're going to get some more of those guys on the field. But I would say those three guys probably would be the top three.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call, Spectre. Yeah, I mean, offense, there are fewer surefire things. I mean, you got those three guys, you know, when there's no cloud in the air, Jarquez is your
correct
tailback, your running back. But, I mean, right now we're waiting for the quarterback situation to settle. Got a lot of receivers that could be out there, and I don't think – just because somebody's on the field, the first snap means that much at wide receiver or tight end.
Yeah, not right now. I mean, I think, I think there's three spots where we've consistently seen the same three guys.
Right.
And that's left tackle, right tackle, and center.
It's a little more settled defensively just because you've got more
especially
guys
in the secondary.
Returning. Yes.
Especially in the secondary. We've seen a little bit more movement in some other spots. But in the secondary, you know when it rolls out there, you're going to have DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett, Keontae Scott at the nickel, Zion Puckett, Jalen Simpson.
Yep.
That you've got
so
five
there's nearly
guys.
Half your defense, and Marcus Harris is going to be out there as a starter.
Yeah,
so you're more than halfway there on defense, whereas offense, you're about a quarter.
I think Jason Jones has put himself in a great position now. So you're talking about seven spots that you would feel pretty sure about, and that's seven returners.
Right.
That would make up some of this defense, I think.
We did a thought experiment earlier in the week on Justin's podcast where we tried to name how many players, because Ron Roberts said that 15-16 number, right? Or how many old
guys.
Yeah,
that's where he is right now.
That's where he is now. We tried to guess who those 15-16 are, and it was a lot of the – I mean, it's hard to name. The issue we ran into was figuring out who at linebacker.
Who's not in the 15 or 16?
Yeah, well, and who at linebacker is. Because in the secondary and on the defensive line, you feel like you've got 12, you know, maybe 13. And then the question is which linebackers would qualify.
Well, who do you have a sixth in the secondary?
I'm thinking Kyan Lee would now maybe never played a snap before.
I think he's a guy that is going to be really good. I don't know that you know exactly what you have.
No, I think I had because between DJ, Nehemiah, Keyonte, Donovan, Zion, and Jalen Simpson, I think I had those six.
Yeah, which doesn't include
Kyan Lee, but does include Donovan Kaufman, who I wonder about. You know, because he's somebody who
I just wonder about position wise. Yeah, where he kind of fits with this group.
Is he a tweener?
Is he multi-position insurance, but not a guy you lean on necessarily anywhere?
I mean, yeah. So, you know, the numbers there, you start going, okay, you think about up front. You go, I think Keldrick Falk would already be in that mix, I believe.
Even though he also hasn't played
yes,
a snap
I think
before,
it's a different feel because we heard Ron Roberts from his own mouth say he's going to be an impact player.
Right. This year.
So I think – but the question is, does that game one or game seven – because Kyan Lee by seven, no question in my mind is he there. Who's ready game one to be one of those guys? And is that a smaller group?
You know, one of the names I tossed out as where is he in the 15-16 now? Will he be in that group or in whatever number Ron Roberts wants when the season starts? Will he be part of it? Is Bobby Jamison Travis? Who I know it's
probably not game one.
Game one.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
To make the jump from JUCO.
To miss the spring and summer.
He's here a week, and that's where and you combine that with the difference in like Dylan Cinda being here a week is Dylan Cinda went through spring training at Northwestern. So from a physical standpoint, he had already done all those things. He'd been there all summer, and so he had done the things that he needed from a strength and conditioning standpoint. That's the part where you look at him going, okay, how much of that and can you catch up? Because the
while you're trying to learn and practice, how much can you really work your body into shape?
Because the difference is in 1999, there would have been 25 other guys in the same boat. Now there's two of those guys, maybe. Everybody else is they're conditioned for the season right now. They're not running wind sprints after practice
A lot of fall practice used to be getting in shape.
And no longer.
No.
If you're not there day one, it's
you're
over.
So, you're so far behind.
It's over.
Well, and that's one of the things that at least has allowed things to, you know, the game to continue to progress because of everyone being in shape coming in. If you had the limitations that you have now,
it would take you 6 weeks.
Back then with guys coming in out of shape and only able to practice 20 hours a week.
It'd take you 6 weeks to get anywhere close to game shape. And that's why, too, it's why they're able to do what they're doing now, because there's more mental work involved, because these guys don't have to be out there for 5 hours on the field because they're in shape. I mean, we saw it the other day. Thought it was a great move. They would, in some practice indoors, go outside and practice, come back inside. I mean, they're being very – And you know, Luke Deal said, "Look, we have to have a hydration test. Obviously, they do a concussion test to go make sure, hey, they're still in the same. They do all those things to make sure that their body is prepared. Nutritionists, all these things. That's the part where it's almost impossible to catch up if you're not alongside those guys already.
We need to get to our final break of hour number one, last segment with Jason. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Easy." Quick, stress-free, all words you...
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Wednesday afternoon. Last few minutes with Jason Caldwell. Jason, I mean, just some thoughts here a week in, just some general thoughts of where you think things are and what we're looking forward to here over the next few days. And then obviously all the stuff that you guys are doing, because recruiting still going big time.
It's still going. And, you know, got, I think TJ Lindsey expected that it's on Saturday, I believe. And so, you know, I think Auburn's still in a good spot there. DeAndre Carter's still waiting on him. Then we'll have a chance to get on the road. They start playing games in Georgia next week.
Wow, so, it's two. It's just a couple of weeks.
Just a couple of weeks away from here, and so we're going to get a chance to go watch a couple of guys next week in Georgia. So we're going to be out on the road seeing commitments, seeing targets, seeing some of those guys. So you find all that at auburnundercover.com. Obviously, this week, we'll get ready for scrimmage coming up this weekend and then have full coverage of that Saturday. Fan Day coming up Saturday
That's
as well.
Right.
A back to real traditional Fan Day. And my guess is that there's going to be a lot of folks in town. I think it's going to be packed on Saturday for Fan Day, and it should be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be an enjoyable time for these guys to see the real – you can get a sense of it on social media, and, you know, the tickets are sold, all those things. But when you get to see people at Fan Day, it's always one of those times that I think people get shocked at how many folks come and how excited they are to come and meet them. It's always, especially for young guys, but I think some of these guys now, some of the transfers, yeah, you played at Tulsa for 2 years during the – COVID years and all those things, I think they're going to be really surprised at what they see on Saturday.
How's the podcast with Luke Deal going?
It's going great.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a fun guy to talk to. Big Wings 94.3 fan. You could ask him about
he's
on a podcast.
He's a music guy.
Knows his music, yeah.
Yes, but no, it's going good. We had episode 3 today. We're going to continue doing that throughout the season. And so a lot of fun, talks of football, and just kind of getting some thoughts.
I'll tell you what, I give great ideas away for free all the time on the show. I'm not going to stop now. I think a bar or restaurant in this area should book you and Luke to do a live podcast and maybe let him play some music afterward too. I think there should be someone in town.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that earlier today.
Somebody in town should book Luke Deal and you
the real deal.
I don't know if you. I suggested you could do the June Carter parts.
Maybe. I don't know about that. I can't sing that high.
But no, I think a live podcast and then Luke doing some songs would be fun, and I bet some teammates would probably come out and check it out, and then I think there'd probably be some other folks
Something we're going to explore as we get into the season, maybe start to have a special guest or two along the way.
Yeah, so. I think that'd be pretty cool, and I nominate Bill as the special guest. So that's there you go.
No,
it's just
oldies with me though.
Oh, I bet Luke knows a couple of
I'm sure he does.
Knows a couple of classics. No, but that's really cool. The real deal is the podcast.
The real deal. That's it. So check it out. Episode 3 up today, so you can find that there on our YouTube page. Go subscribe there and check it out. All of our videos that come through there. We'll have more of those tomorrow, and myself and Nathan do kind of a reaction video podcast, you know, 8 or 10 minutes or so, usually every day that we get some kind of viewing or interview. So which is tomorrow. So we'll have some of that. We'll have plenty of things at the YouTube page, but also at Auburn Undercover as well. And so come check us out.
Looking forward to it, Jason. We'll see you over there in the morning.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. We're halfway done. 1 hour in, another one to go. Phone lines wide open. Love for you to join in as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in, hour number 2 of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. The regular crew, our thanks to Jason Caldwell being with us for hour number 1. Hope you had a chance to hear Jason. We talked an awful lot about the depth chart, really. I mean, didn't go here are the twos, but a lot about the players who are battling for positions. I don't know that we... I guess running back was about the only position we didn't get into. I mean, he talked about the offensive line, tight ends, quarterbacks, receivers, linebackers, defensive front, and the secondary. I mean, it pretty much it. Yeah. We didn't touch on, and that was something that somebody said yesterday.
Punters and kickers.
Yeah.
Didn't get into the specialists.
Because there's not a lot of drama there.
No.
Because you know who those guys are.
Big Mac, he's got some serious power.
He's got a big leg.
Yeah, serious power in the leg, and then Auburn's in a great position with Chapman back for another year at the. And I always worry that I'm going to get the name wrong, right, and call him Sipos or something, right, Bill? Just go with the wrong Aussie punter after a while. But no, but Chapman's back for another season, and he looks to be ready to go as well. We mentioned running back briefly. You know, talked about Jarquez a little bit. I'll tell you what, we didn't really we played – what did we play yesterday? Tate Johnson? We have some more player audio potentially. Malcolm Johnson Jr. Talked about the offense and what's different. And what's great about Malcolm is, so I mean, he can talk about his own game, but he is, you know, it's almost in that elder statesman role too, where he can, especially in that room, where he'll mention everyone else and what they're doing well and what's different about the offense. And it's great to get. He's just perceptive about the team. And, you know, I'm rooting for Malcolm to be able to break through. Mm-hmm. He's somebody that we've been hearing about since the day he committed to Auburn, right? I mean,
yeah, coming in a year early. Remember skipping his senior year of high school?
Reclassified as a high school junior, a rising senior, to come to Auburn instead. Was a national champion-type track athlete coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Sprinter.
You know, was somebody people thought could be a national, you know, like an
the
elite,
next Anthony Schwartz,
an elite
is what
sprinter.
A lot of folks were thinking.
It hasn't really come through on the field for Malcolm Johnson Jr. A couple years into his Auburn career, but there's still time, and he's still out there working, and we might. I think I got to send that to Drew if we're gonna run it, but yeah, maybe we run a little bit of Malcolm Johnson later in the show.
And then, you know, as we were saying with Jason, I mean, tomorrow we'll get another opportunity to watch a little bit of practice tomorrow morning, and then we get the defensive assistant coaches tomorrow.
What group has your eye, or which of the coaches would you like to talk to the most of the four? I believe it's Aldridge, McGriff.
It's Aldridge, Etheridge, Garrett, and McGriff.
Yeah, Garrett, McGriff. Yeah, well, that's okay. Aldridge and Etheridge is where I got stumbled.
I like
up there
that.
First. Yeah,
I
you
like
got Aldridge
that.
And Etheridge.
That sounds like a law firm.
The Ridge,
Aldridge, Etheridge, Garrett,
you got,
and McGriff.
Bill, you know what they are? They're the Ridge Boys, right? I mean, you got the
Aldridge and Etheridge.
Yeah, the Ridge. They're the old Ridge Boys. But you've also got who's the other? Roberts? Was there not Roberts?
No, no.
Garrett.
Those are the four. The four assistant coaches tomorrow.
I want to hear from Garrett. You know, to be honest with you, I mean that's a big, talented defensive line group.
He was very entertaining in the spring.
Yeah, sounds like a defensive line coach. So it'll be fun to talk to him.
And Crime Dog's always great.
And well, Zach and Wesley both have done remarkable
that's a really fun pair.
Yeah, I mean they've both done a great job on the recruiting trail of late, mm-hmm. and the secondary is, although Hugh Freeze challenged the secondary a little bit when he opened fall practice and pointed to them as a group that needed to improve. That's a group with a lot of intriguing players in it. Interested to hear what Auburn's secondary coaches have to say tomorrow.
And then Friday we get five players, only one of whom is a returning starter.
Remarkable, right?
Yeah, Jalen Simpson, the only returning starter. You've got three transfers in Dylan Wade, Justin Rogers, and Austin Keys, and then Camden Brown.
Right, and so I think they're – I mean, it's been an interesting mix of newer players that have a story to tell and some returnees, some younger players, some veterans. And now we get, three incoming – three of the first year Auburn players talking to the media tomorrow, and Camden Brown, a player who was battling for playing time in his first year of college football last year, along with Simpson, who's one of the leaders of the team. One of the first guys Hugh Freeze singled out at media days when he was asked who else he could have brought. You know, talked about all the talkers and all the leaders he's got in the secondary. Nehemiah, not necessarily as much of a talker as the other ones, but Keontae and Jalen Simpson are a couple of guys that the team really looks up to.
Yeah, Dylan Wade, as Jason was saying, looks like he has locked down the starting spot there at left tackle offensively. Justin Rogers, he appeared to be the starter coming out of the spring. He and Jason Jones really battling. And I think you're going to see times, certain in short yardage or against teams that are more ground-oriented, you're going to see both those big guys in the game at the same time.
Yeah, I'm of the – and name another one maybe if I leave anyone off here in the defensive line, Bill. But I'm thinking between Nasilakite and Justin Rogers and Jason Jones and Marcus Harris and Keldrick Falk. It's not so much a question of who's starting. It's going to be how many snaps are being split between those five. And
I think you're going to see Lawrence Johnson.
Lawrence Johnson, potentially.
Zykevious Walker.
Zykevious is the one I keep thinking, like, is he going to make a push and get on the field as much? Because
it would be great if they're at those four positions, if you could see eight or nine guys play. Whereas the last couple of years, we've been, you know, hoping to see someone, like Jason was saying, be able to give guys a breather.
I asked about Jamison Travis earlier in the show. He's probably a year away because he's behind.
Or maybe at least a couple of weeks. I would say maybe by midseason is where you hope that, because he's got everything coming at him. He's trying to learn the defense. He's trying to get in shape and learn the defense. And he's, you know, just learning his teammates.
While also getting comfortable with the new surroundings.
Oh, yeah. Just moved in, doesn't really know many of any of his teammates.
Going to start the starting
classes, learning a new defense.
It's a lot.
And probably need to get into playing shape.
Right, and we need you on the field very soon. You know,
fortunately, Auburn's in a position where they don't have to play him. Now, I wouldn't be surprised to see him if Auburn can get out to a comfortable lead in the opener. You know, to see him getting some playing time, getting some snaps, and that's one of the things that's good about the Auburn start of the season. We've talked about it for the whole team, but especially for the guys who weren't here in the spring. And then, you know, a guy like Bobby, who wasn't even here over the summer.
Jason mentioned that Saturday's practice will also be fan day. After practice, you know, folks will have the opportunity.
Because I had two people specifically ask me today, so are we getting to watch practice Saturday? Not unless you have better connections than we do.
No. Although,
I would think if you're a former player, you'd probably be able to get in.
We're getting to see
We're getting to see pre-scrimmage.
Yes. Yeah. We'll see the practice activities.
That's right. We'll get to see them as they're going through some drills before the scrimmage.
Well, I don't know how much scrimmaging we will see.
My guess would be very little to none. Yeah.
So after the scrimmage is over, fan day activities going on. Folks can get autographs and pictures at the stadium.
No, actually, over it, at the. The indoor facility there behind the complex, the indoor practice field there behind the complex. That's where it's going.
Okay, all right, and I'm sure there will be signs and things posted.
Oh, yes.
Notifying people that's where it is. But
the gates are going to open to the public, I believe, at like 2:15.
I think there's On to Victory people have
they have an event for their members at 1:15.
Did we mention? I don't think we have on the air the news about On to Victory sponsoring every member of the team.
No, I don't think
that
we
was,
did.
That was released. I believe that news came out
a couple of days ago.
That news came out, I believe, right when Hugh Freeze took the podium for spring practice, or right after he left the podium, the news came that On to Victory announcing that they've signed a deal with every member of the Auburn football team. No financials disclosed, but everyone on the football team getting a monetary amount from On to Victory, the NIL group. So and I'm sure some other guys are getting. I mean, there's NIL deals flying all over the place in college football these days. But everyone on the team guaranteed at least something from the NIL group.
Yeah, so
like it might be a pretty nice
opportunity to meet the players.
Might be a pretty nice something too. We don't know exactly what's going on in the NIL.
I don't doubt that. Don't doubt that at all. So a lot going on here over the next few days. I'm sure quite a few fans will want to ask the players how they did in the scrimmage, because the scrimmage will have been earlier that day.
Yeah, we'll be asking the same thing once we get to talk to players. Could be a couple days after that. But yeah, that's a 2:15 when the doors open. What's it called? It's the indoor complex located behind
the indoor practice field behind the athletic complex.
So do you enter from the athletic complex or?
I don't think so. Now that is not spelled out on what we got, because it says, that fans attending Fan Fest just says doors for Fan Fest will open at 2:15.
Parking available at Neville Arena, campus safety, and the Beard Eaves lots. So it's a Saturday. Find parking where
I
you
would
can.
Think Sorority you'll probably be funneled to the entry down by the old bubble, maybe.
Will Rush stuff be taking up parking and interest over there at the same time?
I don't know. No, I don't think so, since it's the weekend. I think it's wrapping up. It may. I'm not sure.
I think I can disclose this on the air. So I believe bid day, I heard bid day had been moved a day this year. They'd moved it from the traditional, is it usually on Sunday, and they moved it to Monday or something? And I, there's so the calendar might be
well
off.
then it will still be
so the calendar might be off this year. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, so I mean all we have is the release. It says the Auburn Family Football preseason kickoff presented by Golden Flake, carried out in partnership with On to Victory, will feature an autograph session and family fun zone from 2:15 to 3:30 this Saturday, allowing fans to meet their 2023 Auburn Tigers, led by first-year coach Hugh Freeze, prior to the home opener. Doors for Fan Fest will open at 2:15. Admission to the event is free. I would assume it's going to be down there, you know, just past the Coliseum where you used to go in by the old bubble, I would think. That's probably where you'll go.
And it's presented by Golden Flake?
Yes.
Well.
So, but that's 2:15 Saturday, and it is good that it will be there in the indoor facility. Who? Remember, were you around for any of the fan days on the field at Jordan-Hare?
Yes. Oh, my. Yes. Warm.
Man, that's some of the – that's just that's just –
I feel like we had one a couple of years ago, didn't we? Wasn't that
maybe?
Didn't we? Harson's first year. Maybe I think we had one. Like, or that was not on the field. It was on, but there were a couple open practices where it was real hot in the Harson days. There was not on the field though. Nothing like that.
Yeah. So fortunately, it will be there in the indoor practice facility behind the complex.
They should still make Golden Flakes in Alabama. I'm not going to get controversial about this, right? But they packed up and they moved that production out there. I wish they still made them in the state.
Yeah.
I don't know what that entails logistically. I'm sure they've looked into it more than me. But bring them back, Golden Flake.
All right, we will get to our first break of hour number two. We've got some audio from players. Dan was there. Was that just yesterday?
Is that right?
Is that right? Was it just yesterday?
Yeah. No, it's we were there. Just yesterday. That's
right. It was.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing. You feel like, oh, this is old audio. No, it was just yesterday. We've got some audio we can play. But your calls come first. 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive. Welcome back into the drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls here on this Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, we're getting close. It's hard to believe. I mean, it is this close. As Jason was saying, Jason Caldwell with us in hour number one. And again, hope you had a chance to hear that. If not, check out the podcast brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. But high school football getting started next week in the state of Georgia. We've got Lee Scott football starting in just 2 weeks over on, let's say that's going to be on
AU 100.
Yeah. And then Auburn High will start the following week. So we're 3 weeks from that, and we're 4 weeks from the start of Auburn football.
We'll need to chase down Scott Bagwell at some point. And
last week he was a little busy. We'll see if we can do that and get a little update on how things are going practice-wise. But, of course, speaking of Auburn football, great to have the Auburn Sports Network back here on the Auburn Network stations, and you'll be able to hear Auburn football, men's basketball, and Tiger Talk on Wings 94.3. As a matter of fact, the first Tiger Talk coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 24th. Meanwhile, women's basketball and baseball are going to be airing on AU 100. So we're really excited about the Auburn Sports Network being back here with the Auburn Network stations.
Yeah, and like Bill was saying, a lot of media that we will have in the next couple of days, a lot of opportunities with, four defensive position coaches tomorrow.
And we get three defensive players and two offensive players on Friday.
Yeah, five players on Friday, and then Coach Freeze right after the scrimmage is over mm-hmm. on on Saturday, so should have a lot of information. I wonder, like, what positions come to mind before we play the Malcolm Johnson stuff? What positions come to mind as places where you think there will be a lot of attention paid this scrimmage? You know, places where they could be looking to,
other than quarterback,
looking to narrow.
That's the most obvious one.
Where you've got a lot of contenders for just a couple of spots. And maybe this is an opportunity to trim it down a little.
Well, Malcolm's position, those positions there, the wide receiver spots. You've got 10 players. Coy Moore trying to get back. He's been hampered by injury, but saw him actually dressed out and not just on the side yesterday. So Coy hopefully getting close to being back out there, and he knows he needs to be out there as well. But 10 guys battling for, you know, three or four spots. Now, They'd like to have at least a two deep at those spots. But I think the battle there at receiver is going to be one of the more interesting. And then, of course, Spector was asking about linebacker. And I think you've got a similar situation there with six or seven guys.
That's right. Yeah,
midday yesterday.
Appreciate
because I couldn't get away midday.
Appreciate the opportunity to talk to some of those guys. And like we said, we will have more audio tomorrow and Friday with Auburn making the defensive position coaches available tomorrow. And five players available to the media on Friday.
Yeah, it's as they're getting ready for the big scrimmage on Saturday. So tomorrow's an important day as they get ready, and then, of course, Saturday will be huge.
Malcolm talking about his excitement and blocking for Auburn's talented group of running backs, some of the receivers that he's found himself bonding with as new teammates, and a couple times there he was asked about Caleb Burton, and he said, Caleb's been working hard. The route running was something that Malcolm singled out. And I don't know if you caught the part where he said he's stolen a few of Caleb Burton's tricks as a route runner. So Malcolm, even though Malcolm's been in college football a little bit longer than Caleb, they're actually pretty close in age, I would think, because Malcolm did skip the grade to reclassify. But, yeah, Caleb in his second year of college football, he's teaching some of his older teammates some tricks. Malcolm said he's stolen some of those routes from Caleb.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things we heard that Hugh Freeze talked about. Caleb bringing that work ethic and his training and a lot of things with him from Ohio State.
Yeah, we looked up the Monarch earlier today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, I was not familiar with that.
So this was yesterday. Philip Montgomery was talking to the media and said that was this Monday? When did we talk to the coordinators? Was that Monday morning?
What day is today?
Today's Wednesday.
Yes, it was Monday. I'm telling you, asking me what day anything is as we lead up to the first day of classes.
A week from today.
It all runs together.
A week from today is
God,
first day
I wish
of
it was another week.
I know. It's a week from today.
Yeah.
So Philip Montgomery was talking to the media, Auburn offensive coordinator, and he mentioned Caleb Burton had been working hard on the Jugs machine and the Monarch. Now, I was unfamiliar.
I was thinking butterfly?
I was unfamiliar that? With the Monarch. The Monarch, M-A-M-O-N-A-R-C, no H.
Oh, okay.
As you might see. It is Auburn actually put out a release about a year ago when Auburn acquired one. It is a robotic quarterback that has been manufactured.
I
want to
see this thing.
Been manufactured. There's a couple videos on the internet you can pull up.
I mean,
of the Monarch
up close
of the Monarch robotic quarterback. But it's a way for, I guess it was developed during the pandemic as a way for high level football players to train alone without a quarterback or someone throwing them the ball. This thing can simulate a lot of different. It can simulate a lot of different speeds. It can simulate punts and kicks. It can shoot, was it six balls in 12 seconds or something like that?
That's what you were telling me. Yeah,
I mean it allows for a lot of training to happen in a relatively short amount of time, and apparently it's been popular. The Seeker, I believe, is the Monarch Seeker is the robot quarterback. Auburn got one a year ago. And, there's some quotes on AuburnTigers.com from Brad LaRondo at the time, the former Auburn chief of staff. It's got a user-friendly touchscreen interface, six-ball magazine.
Yeah, I see. I'm watching a little video on it right now.
It can throw, punt, or kick up to 12 balls, six balls in 12 seconds with pinpoint accuracy, eliminating wasted reps while drastically increasing practice efficiency.
I want to know when someone tries to determine its eligibility and can put it out there. It's like, there it is.
Oh, is that you think maybe another quarterback in the competition we didn't know about?
You want to take care of the humans? We'll put a monarch out there.
You save some money on ice, right? You don't have to ice the shoulders of the monarch. You know,
that the ball comes out of there in a hurry.
I was impressed
with the throws from the Auburn quarterbacks, but this guy's
now you see their competition. You know, they got to compete with the monarch seeker here. But this created to satisfy player demands for high volume reps. The Seeker is the world's first technology that allows footballs to be thrown to receivers without the help of someone continually feeding a machine. The machine also possesses the capability to track athletes' positions on the field. So it's got a sensor, I guess. It tracks where you are, mm-hmm. and it throws the ball at a specific speed, at a specific location on the field, and at a specific position on the player's body. So this thing is, I mean, the accuracy, you know, the data going in to make this thing accurate, and it can get to up to 75 miles an hour for punts.
That's what I mean. There is some speed.
Punts and kickoff work is what they do. You can shoot it high for that. But it's a new member of the training staff there, the Monarch Seeker.
Yeah, check that out if you get a chance. I had not really looked at the video. I remember the release.
We got a receiver tomorrow, right, Camden?
Yes.
I got to ask him about the Monarch, right?
Yeah, we will.
We'll work a Monarch Seeker question in there.
All right, we'll get to our final break here of the Wednesday show. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Kia of Auburn, welcome.